age. Right, let's talk about technology, as we always do on a lunchtime on a Saturday on BBC Radio Berkshire, and catch up with the editor of GadgetDetective.com and the host of the Gadget Detective podcast. That's Fevzi Turkalp. Have you had a good week, I wonder, Fevzi?
Good afternoon. Yes, I have. Thank you. How's yours been?
It's one of those oddly busy weeks where it didn't look like it was going to be busy, and then suddenly it was Friday, and I was worn out. But those things happen. Best to be kept off the streets, I always say. I'd not heard of this before, but yesterday was World Backup Day. I didn't know there was a World Backup Day, but absolutely crucially important.
Yeah, so I mean, World Backup Day, frankly, is a creation of the people who sell you the equipment to back up your computers, but that doesn't in any way take away from the importance of backing up. So I thought we'd look at that and actually link the gadgets of the week to that and just encourage people to do a backup. So you can actually go to the website. It's called worldbackupday.com. It's got some interesting information there. You know, a backup is, you know, for those that don't know, it's essentially a copy of all your important files, anything that you would cry if you lost, essentially. So, you know, your family photos, home videos, documents, emails, that script you've been working on for 10 years but haven't quite finished. Everything that, you know, I mean, maybe an exercise today would be just to have a think about what's stored, not just on your computer, but increasingly on our phones, on our tablets and other devices. And think about what would be the consequences if we were to lose that. Maybe there's photos of people who've passed away. Maybe there's your entire, you know, music collection. Could be anything on there that you can't afford to lose. And then you have to think about how to make copies of it. On their World Backup Day website, they quote the following statistics. They say that 21% of people have never made a backup. 29% of data loss is caused by accident. And 30% of computers, they claim, are already infected with malware, which
30%.
Seems rather metric. Yeah, they're quoting a Dataprot malware statistics survey from 2021. You know, whatever the percentage is, you know, it's a big problem.
Scary. And scary.
Well, one of the things that's on the rise with viruses and infections is something called ransomware. So ransomware is a form of computer virus or Trojan that infects your computer. You don't know it's there, but what it does is it secretly starts scrambling all the data on your computer and all the data on anything attached to your computer. So if you've got your backup drive still attached, it'll back up your scramble your backup as well. So that is on the rise, because once it's all scrambled, then it announces itself and ransoms it back to you, hence the term ransomware. So they'll ask you to make a payment of what's usually the equivalent of a few hundred or a couple of thousand pounds in bitcoins, which is an untraceable form of payment, if you want your data back. Now, the best protection against that is to have a backup yourself, which you've then disconnected from the computer. So, because then you can reinstate your own files and tell them what to do with their ransom demand. So, in order to do backups, you can do backups into the cloud, but one of the simplest ways to do a backup is just to plug in a device, a small device that's got a large capacity, allows you to backup your own computer and other devices many times over. So, the first gadget of the week is from a brand called Crucial. And they do solid-state drives. So solid-state drives are drives with no moving parts. They tend to be very small, very robust. These particular drives, they're teeny tiny. They're like imagine a bar of soap that you've used for quite a while, so it's actually quite thin. It's like a sliver of soap, so it's about 4 inches by 2 inches by a fraction of an inch. And yet these things can hold huge amounts of data. They're very, very fast. They come in capacities of 1 to 4 terabytes. So to give you an idea, 1 terabyte will allow you to store, say, 10,000 photos, 50 hours of video, 3,000 songs, or many, many, many files, essentially a filing cap, a library full of documents. So huge amounts in this thing that is teeny tiny small. This one is called the X8. It works on Windows, Mac, iPad Pros, Chromebooks, Android, all the different platforms. And it's just quite incredible. And these things have dropped in price so much. So when you're choosing what capacity you need for your backup, so this is an external drive that you plug into, say, your laptop, and then you just copy across all the files, and then you've got a copy, and then unplug it, as we said, because you don't want it plugged in if your computer then gets an infection. Unplug it, take it somewhere else. Yeah, ideally, because you can encrypt it, you can scramble your data. You could give it, you know, you could take it to work if it's your home computer, or home if it's your work computer, and just have it on a separate site. So if you have a break-in, if you have a flood, if you have an electrical spike that ruins everything, you don't lose both copies at the same time, the one on the laptop and the one on the external drive. And a terabyte, as we said, is already huge. A terabyte can now be bought for just under £67.
That's come down, actually. That's come down a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's hugely cheap. Yeah. I mean, considering how fast these things are.
Yeah.
I mean, I use these drives, and we'll talk about this another week, but I use them on a Mac computer as the drive that's got the Mac OS operating system on it, all the apps and all the data as an external drive. So I plug it in externally, it boots off the external drive, and then I can take this to another computer and then switch it on, and it essentially becomes my computer. I can plug it into Macs at any location and take my... So without having to carry a laptop around with me, I can just carry this drive around with me and plug it in. Maybe I've got a Mac at home, Mac at work. But these things, that you don't need Macs to use them, but that's just a particular use of it. But for backup, they're really good because, you know, they're unobtrusive. You don't have to have huge amounts of space for this. As I said, it's a teeny tiny thing that will fit in your shirt pocket. And, you know, for that sort of money, for £67, you can get 2 terabytes for £120 and 4 terabytes for £250. But in terms of what you need for storage, look at the totality of the data that you've got. So you might find that the total of your laptop and your phone, because you back up your phone to your laptop and then back that up as well, that you know, could fit several times over, even onto a 1 terabyte drive. If you need more than 1 terabyte, you probably know you do. You know what your storage is like.
Yes, I was going to say, you know.
Yeah, so but quite amazing. Like, just think, approximately 4 inches by 2 inches by less than half an inch thick. Incredibly fast, silent in operation. I mean, just amazing. And I would say, you know, don't buy too much more than you need. It's always good to future-proof a little bit. But given how the prices of these devices is dropping and the capacities for the same price is increasing, you know, don't buy 4 terabytes if you only need one. You know, if you want to be belt and braces, buy the 2 terabyte. But, you know, because by the time you fill the 2 terabyte, the 4 terabyte will be, you know, substantially cheaper than it is now. If you want another solution to this, Vernon, there's another way of going at this. So here we use large drives from Western Digital. These are conventional drives with spinning hard disks, you know, 3.5-inch drives. And we fit them into something called a network-attached storage. So you get a device from, say, Synology. A basic one would be like a DS220 Plus. So what that is, that's a box that attaches to your home or office network. You can then plug these drives in. So the drives that we use are 14 terabytes each. And you can have boxes that take 2, 4, 6 or even 8 of these drives. You plug them in and then it sits on your network. So then anything that attaches to your network can not only back up automatically to it. So if you've got, you know, you and your partner use different laptops and you've got, another device and a tablet and all that, all those can attach to it. They can all back up to it, or they can just have the files. So you don't have to have them stored on every device. You have them stored centrally, let's say your photo collection, or a good use would be your film collection. If you've got all your films digitized, you put them all on there, and then everyone can stream it off your local network. So, you know, quite remarkable devices. You can do, as I say, backups. You can have security. If you have cameras at home, you can store the video footage live onto that, store your music collection, your video collection. All of those things can be done on there. So that's a kind of more professional solution. But the drives that we use are called Western Digital Red Plus drives. And they are actually red in color. And as I say, the ones we use are 14 terabytes. Imagine, and you can get, you know, 20 terabytes plus on a single drive now. This is quite incredible. So you've got the crucial solution, the X8, for the simple plug it into your laptop and away you go, cheap, fast, capacious, but for a single device, essentially. Then you've got the Western Digital Red Plus drives, which fit into these NAS boxes. NAS stands for Network Attached Storage. So that sits in a box that sits in your on a home network or an office network, allows everyone to access it to retrieve their files, let's say their films, or photos or whatever they want to retrieve, but also to back up to it. So all your backups are in one place as well. And so these are the sorts of things to think about. But the simplest thing, Windows and Mac operating systems have got backup software built in. You don't have to buy, you know, there is more sophisticated software you can buy, but the basics are built in. All you really need to do, attach a drive like the Crucial X8, just under £70 on a 1 terabyte drive, back up everything from there, do it encrypted so that no one can, you know, if they steal your drive, that they can't get to the data, and then just hide it somewhere and just back up regularly, do it once a week or however often. You know how, when you decide how often you should back up, the way that you do it is you think, okay, if I back up once a week and then I was to lose, therefore, up to 1 week's worth of data, if it went just before I did my next backup, how would I feel about that? Some people could live with that. Yeah. Other people might want to backup more frequently.
Sure. Oh, it's fascinating. And you've certainly made me think that when I get home this afternoon, I'm going to back up, because I'm thinking, oh, I don't think I've done this for a while. Fevs is with us. Let's get into some tech news for a Saturday. And let's talk about one-time passwords. It's not easy going for Amazon at the moment, I don't think, is it?
Yeah, so this is a story that's actually been put out there by Which, the consumer group. They're talking about these passwords that Amazon provide customers with for high-value deliveries. And the idea of them is that they're meant to make it safer for the customer to make sure that their high-value packages are not misdelivered and they don't lose them. They talk about Amazon. I'm going to broaden this out because I find that actually this concept of one-time passwords for deliveries is generally vulnerable. And for example, people who buy things on eBay who collect them in person may be similarly vulnerable. So I don't want to just have a go at Amazon over this, although the Which report is specifically on Amazon. So the way this system works is where you've got a high-value item, typically a few hundred pounds or more, Amazon tell you when you buy it that you will be issued with a 6-digit one-time password on the day of delivery after it's out for delivery. So once that your package is in the custody of a single driver, who is obviously then responsible, you get given the one-time password. So no one can just, you know, steal it en route other than that final leg, as it were. The driver comes to your door, he asks you for the one-time password, you give them the one-time password and they give you the package, and there we are. And you know, the way in which it protects you is if they go to the wrong house or the wrong person, that person won't be able to provide them with the password and they won't give them the package. So it can protect you, but we find it also protects Amazon under certain circumstances, because they view it that once the password is given, the package is deemed to have been delivered. However, there are these cases where it's reported by Which that one customer gave the driver the one-time password. The driver said it was an incorrect passcode when it wasn't, and said that the customer would receive another one and then he would return hours later. Driver never returned, made off apparently with the package. On another reported case from Which, they've talked about the customer giving the one-time password and the driver getting back in the van with the package and driving off. The final example was where the package was delivered, but when it was delivered, the laptop that was meant to be inside was missing and a ream of paper had been inserted into it. Now, in all of these cases, the customers did eventually get their money back, but the Which report says that one customer had to try 8 times. Another customer was told that they were not eligible for a refund because they had given the one-time password, therefore had the package, and they had to do a chargeback on their card. And by the way, that's probably worth knowing. If you've got a credit card and you've made a purchase over £100, you're protected under Section 75 of the Consumer Credit Act, which says that credit card company is equally liable for the transaction, therefore will refund you if you haven't had the product. So in all of these cases, Amazon, you know, the customers did get refunded, although as I say, one case through a chargeback claim. But there was a lot of hassle because Amazon's view, you know, the standard view is, well, you've given the number, this proves you've got the package. But we've seen that there are these sort of outlying cases. Obviously, it's not the common.
Yes. Well, it's very difficult, isn't it, in this sort of scenario to legislate for rogue individuals, I suppose.
It is. So my solution to this, is you probably gather, is technological. Okay. If you have a doorbell camera that's recording, it records the whole exchange, and you've got a copy of that recording, obviously that's going to strengthen your case. I was looking at which doorbell camera I would choose, and there's one in particular which is good for this. One of the weaknesses of doorbell cameras is that they shoot at a certain level, so they'll maybe record from the visitor's head down to maybe their waist. But if the package goes down on the floor, the package disappears. There is one camera that I know from a company called Eufy, E-U-F-Y. It's a security video doorbell, but it's a dual camera. One points out and takes that traditional view of the person approaching and speaking to you and so forth. The other one is tilted down to the floor. And it records on both cameras simultaneously. So what you get is a picture of it on the floor as well. So if they just put it down, it doesn't disappear out of reach. So you've got video footage you can actually prove. And the other thing I would say is open the package, ideally in front of the driver. That protects you against, you know, the contents being substituted. Or, as a minimum, if you've got the camera, in front of the camera, even if the driver has left, because that then protects you.
Although
from
in
the
my
claim.
Experience, the drivers have gone because they've got so many deliveries to make. The drivers have gone before you can say anything.
Yes, but not with the one-time passwords, because they have to get the password in order to deliver it. So if for example, they made off with your package, having given them the passcode, then you've got a record of what's happened and who it was. I mean, I've got one of these cameras, and it saved my skin many times in disputes with all sorts of courier companies, not just Amazon. And this isn't just an Amazon problem. I mean, for example, if you buy something on eBay and you choose to collect the item, the buyer gets given a code by eBay. They then give the seller the code, and the seller hands over the item at their door. Now, again, they could take the code and shut their door. You know, or they could just tell the person, oh, this code's not working, and not enter it. You know, so it's not a problem unique to Amazon, and Amazon have made a statement obviously saying that all the customers got refunded and they take this sort of thing very seriously, and the vast majority of their deliveries go off without a hitch, and I've no doubt that that's true. But you see, the downside of these sort of one-time passwords is it identifies to the couriers that the contents are highly valuable, because there wouldn't be a one-time password for something that was cheaper.
Sure.
It is, by definition, the laptops, the computers, the high-value monitors, all those sorts of devices. So you need to be really careful. I would really recommend that people get a doorbell camera or, make sure they've got the package in their hand, or at least a hand on the package before they give the password.
Sure.
And it's really silly, isn't it, that we've come to that. But where you've got instances like this, and then Amazon apparently, you know, refusing someone 8 times before they acquiesced and common sense took hold and they got a refund, you know, it wasn't a pleasant experience.
Well, inspired advice, as always, Fevzi. Thanks so much. There's free tech advice on Twitter by following @GadgetDetective. And you'll be back with Bill next weekend. Have a great week. Thanks, Fevzi.
Cheers.